Good afternoon, and welcome to Our Recourse, a one-hour radio show named in honor of the Immaculate Mother of God, hosted by Brian Gale. As Pope Francis says, Jesus Christ is the mercy of God, and as our beloved Church has long taught, His Mother is our ever-faithful recourse to that mercy. So sit back for the next hour and enjoy Our Recourse with Brian Gale.
Hi, I'm Brian Gale. Good afternoon and welcome. This is Our Recourse, as you just heard, a one-hour radio show named in honor of the Immaculate Mother of God. And do we have a terrific guest for you today. He is the new president of the Malvern Retreat House, about 105 years old, something like that, the oldest, the biggest, and the best retreat house in America. The man is has a background of 25 years of nonprofit leadership and ministry, has a master's degree in theology, incidentally. He is very active and has been for some time in the immigrant community. He has led, spearheaded relief efforts in a number of Latin American countries for the underprivileged. He has also created a Catholic outreach in radio for the Hispanic community. He is fluent in Spanish, I might add. Interestingly, he's a former Catholic priest and Capuchin Franciscan friar. But after years of discernment, he decided to seek a dispensation from the Vatican, which he got, and a laicization. And then he met the love of his life, a remarkable young woman, Margalita, and they have adopted two daughters. And so not only is he a new president, he is also a new husband and a new father. And we are delighted and overjoyed, really, to welcome Mark Politano to Our Recourse. Mark, thank you for coming on.
Brian, it's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon. Thanks be to God for your program, for your ministry. Thanks be to Mary, our mother, the Immaculate Virgin Mary, for being the patroness of the work that you're doing. We can't turn to anybody else who is a stronger advocate and protector of us. So it's a pleasure to be able to join you and to join with all of your listeners this afternoon.
Thank you, Mark. We're really delighted to have you. And I have a bunch of questions I want to ask you about your new position and your mission and all the rest of that good stuff. But first, I want to start with, tell us how you met Margalita and how you came to adopt twin daughters.
That's quite a journey, Brian. As you mentioned, Margalita definitely is the love of my life. My vocation story, as you summarized, is quite intriguing. But I really feel that I've been obedient and tried to listen to the voice of God through it all. And my faith at times was a little challenged and maybe even weakened, but for the love and mercy of God, I feel strengthened and pointed in the right direction to lead me to discover Margalita, Maggie, who really has partnered with me in a life journey. And one of the things that really attracted me to her was to hear her in the very beginning of our relationship, actually to see something that she wrote, that she was not interested in pursuing relationship with anybody unless they were going to be faithful Catholics and living the Catholic faith and really believing in Our Lady and accepting the role that Our Lady had in the Church. I was intrigued by that because it seemed like very, very odd that a young woman was going to put that out there and say that this is the primary
criteria
requisite that I would like to pursue, to find in somebody to pursue a relationship. And it got my attention, and I'm glad it did, because our relationship has been blessed. God has brought us together in a remarkable way. Margalita, actually, at the time, was living in South Florida. She is of a Haitian background, came to the U.S. In 1989-1990 to study at Loyola University in Chicago, and got her degree there, spent some time in Chicago, and then joined her family members, a number of whom are living in South Florida, and made that home for a number of years before we were married. I think our relationship, as blessed as it has been, went through all of the challenges that any relationship goes through. Our first year of marriage, it was a learning experience for both of us, people who had been very independent in our lives and learning to live together and share life together. And even though we were of a like mind and like faith, figuring out how that is going to be lived in the day-to-day life. And also moving from Florida to Delaware, where we ended up living, was another challenge. And we subsequently, Brian, we wanted to have children from the very beginning. We went through the trials and challenges of infertility, of miscarriage, the heartbreak, all of that, and then felt God was calling us to consider adoption. And we did a lot of investigation and eventually moved into adoption and being open to life in that way. And 8.5 months ago, God blessed us with two beautiful twin daughters, Sagesse, which is French for wisdom, and Anaïs, which is French and Hebrew for grace. So those are our twin daughters, and our family doubled very quickly, and God just keeps on continuing to bless us through these beautiful, beautiful babies. And we want nothing more than for God to use their hearts and minds for His honor and glory, for advancing His kingdom here on earth, and for doing something good that is going to contribute to the good of the world, of humanity. But first of all, that their lives will serve God. So that's our prayer. That's our hope. And fortunately, they've been in great health, and our lives are just so overwhelmingly blessed by these little girls.
Boy, that's a wonderful thing to hear. And with respect to their future path and God's guidance, with the witness of their dad and mom, I have a feeling that they're starting out a little bit ahead of the game. But let me ask you this: where were they born?
They were actually born in New Jersey. They're Jersey girls. They were born in New Jersey, and that's where they're from. And usually, there's typically a mandatory six-month waiting period before there's a court finalization. And just a few weeks ago, we had that court finalization in the Camden County Courthouse, and everything is signed, sealed, and delivered and permanent at this point. So we're very pleased to have traveled that journey and have that behind us. And there's no turning back at this point.
I have to say, it really does appear as though Our Lady has had her hand on your shoulder throughout a good part of your life. I mean, to arrive at this point and to have these doors continue to open to love, to sharing the love with new children, adopted children, to a very new ministry at a really established brand, if you can say such a thing about a old line but ever new retreat house. I just must note up front, very blessed man.
I am so blessed, and I, on a daily basis, just feel overwhelmed by the awesome love and mercy and grace of God. And yes, Our Lady plays a very, very important role in the midst of all of that. We really trust an awful lot in the communion of the saints as well. Both of my parents and Maggie's father have deceased, and we know that they're constantly interceding for us. The child that we lost in miscarriage, we have named her Therese Miriam, and know that she is interceding for us. And we are constantly asking many saints, Mother Teresa, Saint Francis, Saint Clare, John Paul II, and I have a great story for you of how Saint Gianna Beretta Mola has intervened in our life. We've had so many people praying with us and for us during this journey of wanting to have children, and Mother Teresa's sisters have joined us in prayer and shared with us a third-class relic of Mother Teresa that we have cherished and asked for her intercession and know that she was there with us. And also, as we learn more about St. Gianna Beretta Mola, we were asking her intercession. And a few months back, actually, it was at the end of January, a friend of mine called and said, St. Gianna's daughter is going to be speaking at St. Rocco's Parish, and I think you should go. She said, I know you understand Spanish. The Mass is going to be in Spanish. Her talk is going to be in English and translated into Spanish. She said, I hope I'm not pushing you too much, but I think you and your wife should go. And so we went. It was a Friday evening. We were exhausted from the week, and we went. A beautiful Mass, long Mass, beautiful Mass, great presentation by St. Gianna's daughter, Gianna. And we wanted so much to talk with her, but she was surrounded by people. And it was so hard to break through the crowd and the group. And my wife was getting a little frustrated and very tired. And she said, well, maybe we should just go. And I talked to her and said, well, we came here wanting to meet her, so let's be patient. And we were, and we finally maneuvered our way up to her, told her our story, and she was asked our name. She asked our name. She was very receptive to us. And she said, as she prayed with us, she said, and now I'm going to ask St. Mama, as anybody has heard her talk before. She refers to her mother as St. Mama. She said, I'm going to ask St. Mama to pray for you too. And we accepted that. We appreciated her prayers. Unbeknownst to us, the birth mother of our daughters, that next weekend, so the day, Saturday, Sunday, right after we prayed with St. Gianna's daughter, made a decision that she wanted to move forward with adoption for her twin daughters.
Oh.
And she actually went to a site and saw our profile posted and decided that she wanted us to be the parents before she even had contact with the adoption agency. And she calls the agency and says, I want to talk to you about adoption. I'm going to have twins, and I have selected a couple for my twins to be their parents. And the agency was taken aback and said, we haven't even met you yet. We need to meet you. She went into early labor. We had met with St. Gianna's daughter that Friday. The babies were born the next Tuesday, on the 9th of February. And we got the notice that the mother had signed a release and the birth father had signed a release on Friday, the following Friday, at exactly the same hour, 1 week later, that we had prayed with St. Gianna's daughter.
Wow.
And talk about feeling overwhelmed by the grace of God. All of those things were happening behind the scenes before we even knew. But the powerful prayer and intercession of the saints came through and blessed us tremendously. And, you know, how can we be but thankful to God for all of that, for that tremendous blessing? And it's clear to us. There's no doubt in our mind that from the very beginning, God had prepared that these two wonderful, beautiful baby girls would be ours and would be part of our family. And it was solidified through that intercession of the saints. And the other part of it, which I didn't say, is that during the 3 months, 2.5 months prior to us receiving this news and receiving our babies, we had two failed adoptions.
Oh.
Two mothers that had decided to adopt, to give their children for adoption, and then change their minds. Huh. And we had been selected both times. So we were a little devastated by that, by that leading up. But for some reason, those babies, those children, were not supposed to be part of our family. But these twins were the ones that were prepared.
Always the test, huh? Always the test of faith.
Indeed.
Well, remarkable. Thank you for sharing that, Mark, with us, our listeners as well. You know, it's very inspiring. There are a lot of people out there listening who wrestle with doubts. We all do from time to time. And to hear a story like that and know that God is ever close, as he has promised he would be, and that there are a constellation of just great saints available to us for intercession, the greatest of which, of course, is the Immaculate herself, is just a beautiful thing always for us to hear. I want to get to your job, though, your new job. This is really just terrific that you've taken on the mission to take the Malvern Retreat House to the next level. And I'd love to hear you talk about what attracted you to the job and what you see as the primary mission in, you know, renewing and, I guess I would say, changing even the trajectory of the Malvern Retreat House.
Sure, Brian. Many people know Jim Fitzsimmons, who was here for 12 years and did a wonderful job, remarkable job of helping Malvern Retreat House to grow and develop and really grow in terms of the number of people who are coming through and developing especially the non-traditional retreat opportunities. So Jim decided to retire, and the board posted this position, back in the latter end of 2015. Although I had never been on any retreat here, I knew of people who had been on retreat here. I have been on retreats many, many times in other places throughout the country, but never at Melvern. But through friends, I knew about the place. And interestingly enough, my wife and I had been here a few times on weekends, on a Sunday, to walk the grounds and to pray and just to reflect. And when I saw the job posted, I had already reached the point where I had felt God tugging me for a number of months. I had done social services and worked with a wonderful organization, the Ministry of Caring in Wilmington, Delaware, that does tremendous outreach to the homeless community, very low income, helping folks with food and shelter and child care and just developing skills to take people out of poverty, take people out of homelessness, and help them to stabilize their lives through work opportunities, etc. And I love doing that kind of work. I had done it before I went to the Ministry of Caring and continued it there for almost 10 years. But I felt God saying to me, I've blessed you with a lot of opportunities. I've given you talents and abilities, and I want you to help me bring people closer to me. I want you to use the gifts you have, the education that you have received, the experience you've received through your service in the church, and do a ministry that is going to help people know me and put their priorities straight. And that was tugging at me so much, and I was thinking, okay, am I supposed to write? Am I supposed to go and give talks? Am I supposed to be a Catholic evangelist somewhere? What form is that supposed to take? I saw the job posting, and I said, huh, this is an amazing situation. Maybe this is the venue through which God wants me to use my background to help serve people and carry on his mission and help people get closer to him by building up this sacred space, this beautiful sacred space that has been here for 104 years. And that process, like I said, started at the end of 2015 and continued through a series of interviews, and finally my appointment was announced in the middle of February, right after we had received notice about, not notice, but actually received our children.
Wow.
And I tell people this all the time, Brian. This is a door that God threw wide open.
Yes.
Because, you know, I know that it's hard for some people to say, well, if somebody was a priest, if somebody was in religious life, you know, and they have left, even if they've got a dispensation and laicization, you know, they've had their opportunity, you know, and I've had some doors close to me even when I wanted to serve, because people felt that being a former priest, being a former Capuchin, you know, it's going to be awkward, it's going to be difficult, and to know that the board here and the people here at Melvern Retreat House were open to recognizing that God was still working with me and through me, and wanted me to use some gifts in his service, and ultimately now for the service of Melvern Retreat House, has been a tremendous blessing, and I really believe that it is Our Lady, and that I prayed to so hard for, and the intercession, her intercession, and the Lord saying, okay, this is what you've been looking for. This is where I want you to be. This is the answer to your prayer of where you need to be at this point in your life. And I've been working on that for the past 6 months that I've been here, and trying to get a sense of where that direction is going. But I'm humbled by it. I'm very humbled by it, and really want to be at the service of the Lord. I love the church. During my whole journey, as you could imagine, there were personal trials and crises and tears. Yes. At the same time, I had many invitations of people assuming that I didn't want to be a part of the Catholic Church anymore. Wow. And had invitations from other denominations to join their denominations and be priest and minister in other denominations. And I could never, ever accept that, because this is where I find the truth and where I find God is through the sacraments and through the Catholic Church. And I always felt, you know, this is where I need to be. And no matter if I'm able to express my ministry in some way or not, I need to be within the fold of the Catholic Church. And fortunately, this door opened. And I hope I can honor God and give Him glory and honor by my service here.
Mark, what's the job? What do you see? What's your vision for the next phase of this great retreat house's growth?
Well, yeah, Brian, I really feel that there's a lot of new opportunities. We've done great things over the years, but we also have to listen to the signs of the times, and we have to be attentive to so much that's going on around us. For example, I really believe that using the radio waves, using internet, using digital media is a tremendous way that we can reach out to folks and develop a retreat experience, not just sitting here waiting for people to come to us, but taking the message, the mission of a new evangelization that the church is being called to out to people and exposing them to the Word of God, exposing them to the love and mercy of Jesus. So that is an area where we're putting a lot of attention and trying to make some adjustments. We're going to be we're working now on improving our website accessibility through the internet. Streaming opportunities of activities here, of mass, of talks and presentations, looking for ways of putting out digital media to help people grow in faith. So that's one area, and I believe that's going to be growing. Another is reaching out to sectors of the Catholic community that haven't looked at Melvern Retreat House as a venue that they're aware of, number one, or that they would feel inclined to find as a support to their own faith journey, specifically the Spanish-speaking community and other minorities as well. Interestingly, this past weekend, this past Saturday, the Archbishop Chaput was here to bless our new shrine in honor of Our Lady, Our Lady of Guadalupe, under the title of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And we had a tremendous outpouring. Saturday was a tough day weather-wise, with rain, with change to cold weather. But we had about 300 people here, many Spanish speakers, probably two-thirds of the group were Spanish speakers, who wanted to express their devotion and participate in the inauguration of this new shrine. And I share that because for us, completing this shrine and inviting people, knowing that Our Lady of Guadalupe is patroness of the Americas, North America, Central America, South America, all of America, the Caribbean, that this is a place where people can feel affirmed, particularly among the Spanish-speaking segment of the church that's growing, that's the fastest-growing segment of our church. And the Spanish-speaking Hispanic segment should not be ignored, and is so vital to helping all of us grow in our faith. People of tremendous witness. In working with the Hispanic community over the years, I often said to people, I went to study theology at a master's level for 4 years and wrote a thesis and got my degrees and did all of those studies with head knowledge, but my ministry and interaction with the Hispanic community is where I learned to integrate all of that head knowledge into real faith.
That's beautiful, Mark. We're up against a hard break right now. We're going to cut away for a commercial. Want to come back and talk about the outreach you're planning to the Hispanic community. That's a very important and exciting initiative. But first, a word from our sponsor, as they say, in His Sign Network.
Hello, Father Doisy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906. Or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Okay, we're back with Mark Politano, a man with an amazing journey in the faith, the new president of Malvern Retreat House. He replaced Jim Fitzsimmons, who had been there, an institution, an icon in Philadelphia Catholic circles, been there 12 years. Mark has come in. He's got a very exciting vision for the Retreat House. He's taking dead aim right before he went away on break on one of the fastest growing segments, if we can call it that, of the Catholic Church and Catholic population here in America, and that is the Hispanic community. Mark, you were just talking about the outreach and about what a wonderful day you had last Saturday late as you launched, inaugurated this beautiful new shrine, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Tell us more about your outreach to this very important segment.
Of course, Brian. We're really working now to find any way of making sure that the Spanish-speaking community knows that they have a home, that they have a welcome here. Of course, there's the famous Spanish phrase, mi casa es tu casa, my house is your house. So we want to make sure that Malvern Retreat House is seen as a house, a place, a sacred space for everyone, that everyone feels welcomed here. So we are reaching out to the Hispanic community, particularly within the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, in New Jersey, in Delaware, trying to find opportunities through days of reflection, days of recollection, families, women, men, but different venues that we can invite people to be here to find an encounter with Christ here. And that is really what we're working very hard on. I'm trying to get out to speak to different Hispanic communities in different parishes. We're also doing an awful lot of invitations to folks. For example, to this dedication that we just had, we have coming up in November a number of events, but one of the wonderful events that we have coming up is Tony Melendez, who a lot of people know has performed for several popes. His original presentation to a pope was to John Paul II, Saint John Paul, and John Paul really embraced him, literally embraced him. He's a young man of Nicaraguan background, a musician, a Catholic evangelist, who was born without arms. And he plays the guitar. He entertains and preaches the word of God as a layman. He plays the guitar with his feet, and does a remarkable job. If anybody has ever seen him in person or through video or television, you can't help but be touched by the inspiration that Tony brings. And he's going to be with us for the weekend of November 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st. And he's going to be, first of all, at York, Pennsylvania, sponsored by the Knights of Columbus and Malvern Retreat House at the Strand Capitol Theater on November 18th. He's going to have a private concert for a retreat group, a men's retreat group of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Immaculata group, on the 19th, but then a public presentation on the 20th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then in Delaware on November 21st at 7 p.m. at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church in Bear, Delaware. So again, it's a way of not only exclusively to the Hispanic community, but to anybody who is listening. But here's a man of a Hispanic background who is bilingual, who brings his message to the English-speaking and Spanish-speaking community, but another way that we're trying to welcome and invite and integrate the Spanish-speaking community more into the life of Malvern Retreat House. So that's one way. And we're in dialogue right now with a number of parishes and groups to see Malvern Retreat House as an opportunity to do pilgrimage, to pray, come here and pray and give honor to God, to do pilgrimage to Our Lady. And so hopefully that's something we're going to see expanding as we conclude 2016 and move into 2017 and to be growing that whole area of ministry that we're doing here at Malvern Retreat House.
Mark, what do you see as your key challenges coming up?
Brian, the key challenges, I think, any retreat house, Catholic retreat house in the country, has challenges because the idea of retreat and retreat experience isn't as vibrant, isn't as robust as it once had been. And not only that, but the cost of maintaining a property and buildings continues to grow. And many retreat houses depended on huge subsidies from religious orders, for example, or from dioceses and archdioceses. Malvern Retreat House is a lay-owned and maintained holy ground, sacred space, and financial is always a challenge, and keeping the place full is always a challenge. So we have something that's so important for people's lives here, and I'm convinced, and I know our board, our associates, people who are deeply committed to Malvern Retreat House are convinced that what God began here 104 years ago through the intercession of St. Joseph, and many say it's the apparition of St. Joseph that guided men here to find this property, that there's a purpose for that, and it's not a purpose that's not needing to end now, that it's a purpose that's going to have a long history, a big future in front of us. And but I think we have to be wise. We have to be wise in using these resources and finding new ways to bring revenue in. I have found it interesting that a lot of people feel that, well, because it was established and it's been so successful, there must have been a huge, huge endowment that these businessmen who founded Malvern created. And there's not a huge endowment, and we really depend. We have about a $4 million plus budget, and we depend on the retreats that come in to pay our bills and the donations that people send to keep us viable. So that obviously is a challenge, but we feel if we keep on staying focused on the purpose of using this holy place as a place of divine encounter, that God will bless us, and if we continue to work at being wise stewards, God's going to open the door for us. So outreach to the Hispanic community, the Spanish-speaking community, outreach to other Catholics who may be on the fringes and never have really felt a part of Malvern. I think one of the things that Pope Francis speaks of so often is the field hospital. And, you know, I think if we stopped and reflected about it, we all need that field hospital. We all need that mercy of God, that love and mercy of God. But there's many folks among us who are more afflicted than others. And and whose hearts are hurting and who have been alienated in their relationship with God, alienated in their relationship with the church. And our hope is that we can be a bridge, that Malvern Retreat House can be a bridge to so many people who have been away from the church, people who are in extraordinary circumstances through divorce and remarriage and victims of hurt and abuse, of violence, people who are homeless, people who are disabled and handicapped in some way, all people finding a place here. And I think if we keep our priorities straight and we keep on putting this work and this ministry in God's hands, the doors stay open and the resources are provided. There's a very generous Catholic community surrounding us in Philadelphia and the Archdiocese and in the region. And we had a very, very successful breakfast with Catholic business leaders at the Union League a couple weeks ago. And there were about 100 folks gathered there. And one of the appeals, we didn't ask people to pay for the breakfast because we had a wonderful sponsor. KeyBank stepped up and sponsored the event. But we did ask people to contribute so that people, especially on the fringes, who were very broken, who were poor, who don't have resources, can come here to Malvern. And that is a way, I think, of we connect people with resources, helping others. It's the spiritual works of mercy and the corporal works of mercy, and inviting people to participate in that, I believe, is a real vital piece to what we are doing and how we can be sustainable. So those are some of the pieces. They're challenges, but they're also opportunities for us to reach out and to join people together. We're not in isolation. God calls us to live the gospel life, to live our faith in community, and we all share that call. Some of us have the ability to respond and be more generous, others don't, but we can't, like Scripture says, the right hand can't say to the left hand, I don't need you. We all need one another, and I think that's part of the call for us to be witnesses of that and to be faithful to that and to really keep this as a faith journey here in Malvern Retreat House. Be good stewards, understand business, know how to read the signs of the times. I know you're a man who believes in analyzing what are trends, what are priorities, but do that with be a business person, astute business person, but as a person of faith who wants to not just be a business, but be a
mission.
This role, business tools to help people grow in their faith. So I feel that's really what we're putting a lot of focus on in these days.
Now you have something, a new initiative I've heard a lot about, called the Malvern Minute. Why don't you explain what that is to our listeners?
Right. It's a daily reflection Monday through Friday called A Minute for Malvern, using the daily scriptures from Mass, and creating just a short reflection using either the first reading from the Old or New Testament and the Gospel of the day, and out of that drawing a very short reflection. If there's a saint being memorialized or remembered, celebrated on a particular day, trying to integrate that saint's witness as well. And offering that reflection to anybody who wants to be a part of it. And if they do, they can go onto our website and sign up for the Minute for Malvern Reflections. Monsignor Marino, our rector here, also has Sunday Reflections, which are excellent reflections on the Sunday readings. But again, we're trying to create this digital footprint to help invite people to stay connected to Malvern Retreat House and to do outreach. So that is part of what we're doing, and I enjoy doing it. It helps me in my own prayer and taking time to reflect on the scriptures each day and putting out a thought, a couple thoughts, and hopefully maybe creating some inspiration for people. But I know that I'm on a listserv for a few people who offer daily reflections, and it helps me. It's helped me over the years, and hopefully people who are connected with Malvern might find that Minute for Malvern Monday through Friday and Monsignor's Reflections for Sunday as a way of getting closer to the Lord and reflecting about their own faith, their own relationship with Jesus, their own faith journey.
How can our listeners, where can they go to find this Minute from Malvern?
Sure. We have a real easy-to-remember website. It's Malvern Retreat, M-A-L-V-E-R-N-R-E-T-R-E-A-T, malvernretreat.com.
And if they go there, they can read these things, these meditations, each and every morning.
They can go there and read it online, or they can also sign up. There's an option to sign up to receive the reflections through email that will be delivered every morning to their email. So it's their choice either to go to the website or just have it delivered automatically through email to their email address every day.
Now I know I just want to talk briefly about the structure of the weekend. The you know the, my understanding is you about 20,000 souls pass through your gates. Literally, each and every year, which is an astounding number. And about, I'm going to say maybe 10,000 of them are the men of Malvern, which was the initial outreach, the mission. But that means that at least half, if not more, are other types of one-day retreats and Kairos ministry for children and retreats for bishops and priests and deacons and even some non-Catholic Christians and things like that. But the conventional retreat is a 42-hour experience, as I understand it. It's for a 6 o'clock dinner on Friday night, first conference at 8, and then three conferences on Saturday, one Saturday morning, one Saturday afternoon, one Saturday evening. There is a Mass on Friday evening. That is really the way the day ends beautifully, the week ends for most people. And there's a beautiful concluding Mass on Saturday afternoon. And then there's adoration through the evening and into the morning. And then finally, the final conference and then a concluding beautiful Mass and communion. That is the basic structure of the weekend. So our listeners who are not aware understand that is what you're signing up for when you go to commit yourself to a Malvern, a conventional, traditional Malvern retreat. But as Mark was saying, you know, there are non-traditional and they are growing retreats. Mark, just take a minute if, or two, if you could, and just describe some of those non-traditional days of reflection.
Sure, Brian. I want to stress also, just on the heels of your comments about the traditional retreat, the men of Malvern, the men's retreats, are the strongest and longest lasting traditional retreats. But we also have several weekends for women throughout the year who also follow the traditional retreat schedule. Mm-hmm. So it's not just limited to the men. There are some opportunities for the women to do the traditional retreats. And leading into 2017, we've been reflecting over the past couple of years about the mercy of God. And leading into 2017, we're going to be tweaking the schedule a little bit and actually giving people opportunity to, early on in the Friday evening, to recognize where they need healing and to celebrate the sacrament of the sick and the anointing of the sick, for healing body, mind, and spirit that is wounded, that is in need of healing. And that is going to set the stage then for the theme that's going to be carried throughout the remaining of the weekend. It's being received very well and something that is very exciting to us to help grow and give new life and new energy to the traditional retreats, which are still a big, big part of what we do. In addition, we have the about 25 high schools that participate in mostly Kairos retreats for high school age young people. Some come for other days of reflection, other schools as well that are not Kairos based, and then we have special speakers coming in. We have we just had Pat Gohn, who is an author, someone who gave a special retreat for women recently. Gary Zemak is another author who has been here in the past few years for weekends of retreat. Gary's themes have been for people dealing with anxiety and needing to refocus and find a foundation of faith to overcome anxiety and to get a better perspective on life. Pat Gohn was here really helping women affirm their beautifulness, their beauty, and how God works through the feminine reality and to use those gifts as a woman, as a Catholic woman, to grow in faith and to bless families and to bless the church. We have, as I mentioned earlier, had special, and we continue to have, special outreach to homeless and formerly homeless individuals who come here for retreat and find a place where they need a respite and they in their own journey of faith and to be affirmed by God and God's presence and to find the support and opportunity to pray and find community. Recently, we had our traditional annual retreat for persons with disabilities that come here and for a three-day retreat, and that's such a beautiful, beautiful experience of being affirmed and meeting people as they are.
Mark, I just want to thank you. I'm getting a signal from our engineer. I can't believe it, but 60 minutes has passed, and I want to take a minute just to advise our, or at least let our listeners be aware of the fact there's a major retreat coming up at Malvern for the Knights of the Immaculate, November 18 to 20, and the theme is Humility, the Foundation of All Virtue, and it's being led by an EWTN favorite of Mother Angelica's, Father John Trigilio. Many of you will probably recognize the name. He's a very popular author with lots of best-selling books and CDs and DVDs and things of that nature. But this is for men. It's for men who want to be better husbands and fathers, who want to practice virtue and do so with Our Lady's help. And they want to consecrate themselves at the end of the weekend to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And they want to be better instruments of her intercession in the lives of others, in their family, their friends, their communities, where they work, etc. The cost is $245. That's a suggested offering. The Knights never turn anybody away. They cannot pay. And it's 50% off for your first time if you haven't done this before, made a retreat at Malvern. And I would say that if you want more information, I'm going to ask you to call me, 484-318-8685, Brian Gale, 484-318-8685. It just goes to show how powerful a salesman Mark is. Here we are advertising our own retreat at his retreat house on the show in which he is our blessed guest. Mark, I just want to thank you again for taking the time. You are a breath of fresh air, as they like to say, and I have no doubt that Our Lady and our Lord will bless your mission and ministry abundantly. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and invite you to join us next week, next Monday, for our recourse. Thank you.